Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Guys, I am joined, as always, by Armani Buckets, Mr. Brandon Deutsch, and back from the great state of Mizzou, Miss Kayla Kanierum. Guys, how we doing? How you doing, Kayla?
Welcome back. I'm good. Thank you. I missed you all. It's so great to be back with you guys.
Yeah, no, we missed you, Kayla. How was home?
It was so relaxing. I needed to go home and decompress, and Missouri will do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. How's everybody else doing?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you back, Kayla. How long were you home for?
I was gone for, I think, 5 weeks. I left without a return flight. Like, I just didn't know when I was going to come back. I didn't need to be back until we had King stuff, so.
So you have King stuff now.
We're in the full swing, yeah. Yep. Preseason, yep. Two preseason games last week.
There we go.
And then the home opener, October 11th.
I was just about to say it starts next week.
Less than a week, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm good. Glad to have you back, Kayla. It's going to be a fun show. We're getting to that time where there's going to be all big four sports, right?
All the things.
It's the best time of the year. October is my favorite for sure. With that, let's go to the headlines brought to you by the Sporting Tribune. The Sporting Tribune is your go-to destination for the best coverage of your favorite teams in Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. No paywalls, guys. No clickbait. No pop-ups. My favorite. I love it when there's no pop-ups. Just your teams and a clean reading experience. Visit the sportingtribune.com today. Let's do this, Kayla.
Well, guys, Aaron Judge broke Roger Maris's home run record with his 62nd home run, hallelujah, of the season. There's been some controversy, though, and some debate about whether this is the real home run record and whether this should be celebrated. Guys, do you think this is this record deserves to be acknowledged, yes or no?
So I guess I'll just go first, but I'm all about, this is not a very popular opinion. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So I know it's not a popular opinion, but you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. The Patriots won two Super Bowls because they cheated. There's multiple other guys out there. Barry Bonds obviously is the prime example of guys that are cheating and are on that record, right? At 72. So yeah, I think it still needs to be discussed. I still think it's a great accomplishment, right? 62. I mean, who among us have 62 home runs in a season? I mean, it's phenomenal. But yeah, I still think you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and good on Barry Bonds for doing that.
Wait, so are you accusing Aaron Judge of cheating or no?
No, I am not accusing him of cheating.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No. I think that he's doing this legit. Yes, and if you think about it, he came to the league, right, looking the way that he looked. Bonds did not. Like, you obviously saw the jump when he started.
All right, so let me ask you a question. I'll refrain from my thoughts on this for a second. Do you think that all of these superstars, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, all these guys hitting dingers, are taking some form of PED that the MLB doesn't know about yet?
Oh, absolutely. There's always some...
Are you kidding me? This guy was the worst player in the league a year ago. I mean, they're juicing the balls for Pujols for sure. Every time he plays, they're changing a ball or something when he's up at the plate. Who knows?
Right.
You sound salty, Brandon.
I'm not salty. I just know when he played for the Angels, he was the worst player of all time.
What can I say?
He was old.
St. Louis brings it out in him.
That is
true. Well, that was his original home, too. So.
Yes, but like 23 home runs this season? Like, you're joking, right? For a guy who's like 48, he says he's 42, but we haven't seen his birth certificate. He's 48 years old almost, like, which is more remarkable, but still, I think they're juicing the balls. That's a whole different conspiracy, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the thing with PEDs. There's always something brand new and on the come up that Major League Baseball or any kind of major league doesn't know about, right? So there's always going to be people trying to take advantage of the system. So I don't know. Not a popular opinion, but good on them for trying.
And it sounds like hating to not give Judge his credit because it's been such a fantastic season, but this is not the home run record. I mean,
a lot
of people are going against it and saying, why are we celebrating it? And I'm completely in that camp because you have multiple guys. It's not just one person. You have multiple people that have outdone this season, and it's just because it's the American League record that people are giving it kudos. And again, fantastic season, but yeah, I'm not really moved by it.
I think it's a great storyline. This is great to expand the sport of baseball, having the superstar. I mean, and whether or not, yeah, I mean, Barry Bonds has the record, you know, with Royds, everyone knows that, but hey, that he still hit 72 home runs, right? And who knows that these players aren't getting some sort of PEDs. Obviously, Judge has always been that big. Barry Bonds turned it. I mean, you couldn't even see his neck. He had no neck after like a couple years, and this was a guy who had 30 steals a year. I mean, that was a different kind of juice. So, I mean, this is that more impressive for Aaron Judge. In the time, I don't think people realize this. The argument isn't like, does he have the home run record? He has the AL home run record. No one thought Roger Maris would ever be beaten with 61 home runs, and that's in the accomplishment in and of itself, and baseball needs to really push this as far as it can because that is such a big accomplishment. The thing is, the baseballs, like I said, they're juiced for Pujols, but this is the best pitching anybody's ever seen, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's one of those things like they call this a dead ball era. The second person in home runs has, what, 42? 43? Judge has 20 more, right? So this is that more impressive. If Judge played in 2002 or 1 or whenever Bonds hit those 72, Judge would have 78 home runs, straight up.
I mean, you think that he would have those home runs naturally?
Yes.
Back in 2001? Oh, okay.
But I mean, not naturally, but I'm just saying, like, it was a different form of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was more, he would be taking PEDs then. Everyone did, right? But those types of roids they had back then. But it's also one of those things, like, he's one of the most, the dude's 6'8", 250. I mean,
here's the other thing, you know, too, is that I think a lot of people don't realize with time comes advancements in technology, advancements in treatment, advancements. I mean, like, LeBron James is spending over $1 million on recovery equipment. Same thing with Tom Brady, right? So we are treating our bodies differently now than we did back then. Right, so there's a different science to, you know, the treatment of our bodies and everything. So I think with that probably also helps. I mean, guys are actually doing yoga now, which only one team did that to elongate the muscles and stretch the muscles. Which, by the way, I highly recommend yoga. Everybody do it. It's awesome.
Yes.
Guys and women, don't care what your gender, do yoga. It'll benefit you and elongate your life for forever. Yeah, so I mean, there's different things that are going on right now in our technology and being able to do all that. So, and elongate your career.
Well, I'm just glad that we don't have to have any more cut-ins of Judge and college football Saturdays. If we wanted to watch baseball, we would be watching baseball. What are we doing?
Expanding the game to the younger generation who doesn't care about baseball.
All right, well, the MLB postseason bracket is set, and the Dodgers will either face the Mets or the Padres in the NLDS. How confident are you guys going into the playoffs about the Dodgers?
You know what? I'm still not as confident, only because this has happened before for the Dodgers, I think, and it's all about closing out, and it's all about pitching right now, right, Brandon? So I don't know. I'm not as confident, I think, as everybody else is in the Dodgers.
I'm not confident at all because of the pitching. I mean, besides Urias, who led the league in ERA, who's pitching game two? Kershaw, who's had his postseason struggles. And I know he, you know, in the shortened season, he put those aside and pitched very well, but he's still older, has a ton of innings on his belt. I mean, people forget he's pitching the MLB since he was 19 years old. The only American pitcher in recent memory that's been up at 19 in who knows how long. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. The Dominicans, they get signed to like 15, so they're in the league by like 19, 20 a lot of times. But a lot of the Americans don't get to the league till 22. He's been pitching since 19 years old in the MLB. And he's been dominant for every year. And now he's in his 30s, and he's like going into his mid-30s almost soon. It's one of those things where his body continues to break down, and I hope he pitches well, but I'd be lying if I'm not concerned about them probably playing the New York Mets in the DS, not even the CS. So even if you beat the Mets, you get past DeGrom and Scherzer in the DS, assuming the Mets beat the overrated Padres, who I don't think have a shot, quite frankly. Even though the Mets have lost a lot of games recently, they have no shot against DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett, in my opinion. 0% chance, close to. I mean, obviously anything can happen to baseball, but
I mean, I think Scherzer will hit his stride, as we've seen in the past as well, right?
And
I
so
think
will
as long
DeGrom.
As you, yeah,
so
and as DeGrom. Long as you don't overextend him,
so
he'll be fine.
Here's the problem. You put all your marbles on the table against the Mets and the DS. And this is what happened against the Braves last year after they put all their marbles against the Giants. They got tired. Their hitters were tired. Their pitchers were tired. And they got outplayed by the Braves. We could see the same thing happen if they beat the Mets. They go into that Braves series and the Braves just kick their butt because the Braves have an easy series against the, no offense, to the Cardinals.
I was just going to say, what if it's the Cardinals? I want a Dodgers, Cardinals, and
I hope so. I hope so, Kayla. I am tired of the Braves after they won. I don't like repeated champions. I'm kind of tired of the Braves.
But even if the repeated champions would be your team?
I mean, but the Angels are never repeating as champions.
I'm just putting it out there. Would it like, yo, so are you going to retract that once if the Angels win back to back?
Once? Oh my, what world are we living in?
I said if.
I'm going to see a unicorn before the Angels win back to back world champions. I mean, everyone's talking about, hey, at least you saw an Angels championship. I was 3. Yeah. This was in 2002. I was born in 99, okay? This isn't like
a
fan.
I feel so old now.
I mean, this was like, yeah, they beat Bonds. That was the year he had 72 home runs. Congrats. That was a great Angels team. We haven't been good really since. We haven't been dominant since, right? We had a couple in the 2000s, but we really need to. Beside the point, the Cardinals are a tough out, and so are the Braves, even whoever they play, right? The Cardinals are good, but I just think the Braves are just better than the Cardinals. No offense. The Cardinals have hitting. Pitching? I don't know.
The Cardinals are going to win the World Series, you guys, because it's Pujols's,
it's possible.
Wainwright and Yadi's last season
so
altogether. They're going to go out on
you
top.
You think the Illuminati's just fixing it? I mean, it's possible.
100%.
Like the home run story? Judge versus Pujols in the finals? I mean, not the finals, the World Series.
Got his mind on basketball.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, let's go to the next headline.
Yes, guys, all eyes were on the two top prospects in next year's NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, as their teams Metropolitans 92 and G League Ignite faced off in Vegas last night. Wembanyama scored 37 points and was 7 of 11 from the floor with 5 blocks. Henderson had 28 points, 9 assists, and 2 steals. What are your thoughts on these two top prospects?
Oh my God. I mean, I've seen film on both these guys, but oh my God. I'm like over the top, through the roof impressed. I'm not talking about 7'4", being able to dunk and all these other things down low. That kid, Victor, has that shot. He is going to be better than KD.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, absolutely, no, hands down. I don't care what anybody says.
He's got a better jumper than KD.
Absolutely. And you can't block that thing.
You couldn't block KD. You can't block Victor. He was bringing the ball up.
Yes.
At 7 foot four.
Oh my gosh.
And I know he's going to get out physical than like, he's going to get bodied his first couple of years. Like Chet.
But
like, they call Chet discount Wembanyama, and Chet's probably a perennial all-star. That's how good Wembanyama is. When Chet is going to be healthy. I mean, he's hurt for the whole year. Same thing. Like, he's going to get bodied a bit by bigs, but you don't even have to play him against the bigs. He can guard the 3, right?
I have a quick question. Do you guys think running out the gate, he's going to be great? Because these kids need like 3 years. They need 3 years to develop their game in the NBA.
Because of his shot blocking ability and his 3-point shooting. I mean, you could just, did you see what Armand, when we were in Vegas, were you at that? Yeah, you were at
that
game.
Yeah, I was at that game.
When we saw Jabari Smith and what they did with him, when, he's kind of skinny, he was facing some bigger dudes, they just made him 3-and-D. At worst, Wembanyama is a 20-point per game scorer as a rookie at 3-and-D.
But when we saw that game, he was playing against, he was playing against other pros, like actual other pros, but he was mainly playing against guys that had were just like him, playing out, like just had left college, kind of thing. So that's my only concern is that when he actually gets to the league, if he's going to get bodied like that.
So we saw the generational guys usually make an impact right away. LeBron, what is he at? 20 points per game as a rookie? Like close to it. Luka, close to 20 points per game as a rookie. KD, close to 20 points per game as a rookie. And then it's going to be Wembanyama.
Okay, so I agree with you. I think that points-wise, absolutely, he's going. That shot is phenomenal.
Exactly.
Like, it's great.
He's unguardable.
He's definitely going to be hitting from the outside to then be able to bring the ball up. I 100% agree with you on that. But my only gripe is that he looks so frail. Like, yes, he's 7'4" and he's a stick, but like, he just looks so frail that like, he's gonna.
What is he supposed to look like, big baby Davis at 7'4"? Yes. I mean, like, come. Yes.
Yes.
You know how hard that is? The taller you are, it's harder to get big.
No, I agree. I dated a guy that's 6'9" and it was really difficult for him to put on weight.
Did he have malnutrition issues?
No, he did not. All right. No, but it's just harder for guys to put on weight. That's just a fact.
Like, yeah, especially the taller they are.
Yes, yes. It's just,
KD still looks like he's 10 with his muscle definition.
But again, he can still body and be down there, and he has adjusted to the league. That's what I'm saying, is that this kid's going to take a little time to adjust to the league.
I don't know. That skill set is something we've never seen.
Skill's different than body, though. But that's just my take.
But Armand, you know this. His skill set will translate right away, no?
Yes. So your concern is injury prone.
Absolutely.
Which makes sense. I mean, given that size, that frame, it makes sense. It's just like he has the way that he plays the game, he plays it like a big man. When he gets down there, he's not afraid to like bang down low and post up. And his moves, even for his size and for his age, are so advanced. In the mid post, he's catching the ball, he's facing up, he's jab stepping his defender, and he's getting to his spots. You don't see that from rookies, let alone guys that are not even in the NBA, let alone for his size. This is something that we have never seen before. And all that talk goes to show, by the way, Scoot Henderson in most other drafts is a number one pick. We're about to see some of the nastiest stuff we've ever seen in the NBA this season. The ratings were kind of dipping a little bit, and they have been dipping. And the regular season, I don't know what's about to happen, because you're going to have so many teams, probably 10 teams, 10, 11 teams that are eventually going to say, this is not worth it. Why are we chasing the play-in?
Let me ask
Let's
you.
Go and drop
Oh, you're going to see a lot of people.
Do the Bulls have their pick?
If we finish in the top four. So we would have to really
trade pick. Everybody.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think they're going to try to start the season with trying to win games. You're going to see this a lot. I mean, Oklahoma City, could you imagine Chet with Victor? And then you have those two. We've never seen a duo like that.
Now we're talking.
Oh my God. No, if that does happen, that's an embarrassment of riches. Like, have really got to take it.
I think it's just meant to be in the stars and destiny that he's a San Antonio Spur. I just think it's going to happen.
Oh, as a Laker fan, why are you saying that?
I hate it. But like, literally, when San Antonio wants something, they get it. I don't know why. I don't know how. But they've decided to tank. And somehow the stars and the luck will be in their favor. And they'll get the number one pick. I hope it's not a poverty org. And I won't go into those organizations, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, I hope it's not a poverty org. And the Spurs... You can hate them all you want as a Laker fan. They're not a poverty org.
And the other possibility is if the Lakers really fail this season, there's a possibility that that pick that they traded Pelicans. For Davis goes to the Pelicans.
And then they have Zion, Wembanyama, and
how crazy would that be? I mean, if the Lakers pick Ingram. From this season goes to New Orleans, I don't even know what Laker fans are going to do. They're going to revolt somehow. I mean, that would be one of the biggest NBA blunders, even though they won a championship out of it. If you traded away the pick that ends up being Wembanyama, you'll never live that down. You'll never forget it.
That goes for everybody. If some team had traded a pick and that goes into the top four, like, that's going to go for everybody as like a blunder. And Armand's right. We talk about Wembanyama. Yes, might be the best prospect ever. Definitely the best since LeBron. But at the same time, Scoot Henderson is also the fourth best prospect since LeBron, maybe. You know, fifth. Like, it's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah, no, his handles are sick.
This is Westbrook with a jumper.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up on a high note. The Raiders play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football next week. The Chiefs may be the best team in the NFL, and the Raiders are 1-3. What do the Raiders need to do this week to prepare for their division rivals?
I think that the biggest thing anytime you play Kansas City is going to be controlling the game on the ground. Take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. Control the game, pound the rock. Now the question is, do the Raiders have what it takes to do that? Historically against Mahomes, no, they do not. And Kayla, you know about that. You guys have the Raiders number, right? What do you think?
We do. Well, our running game was big last week. I don't think Pat threw the ball downfield. I don't know what the stat was exactly, but we were running the ball a lot more than usual, and that's just something that's happening league-wide this year. So I don't think the Raiders have a chance.
What's your official score prediction?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even thought about this yet. I mean, we put up over 40 on the Bucks. Like, oh. the Raiders, I'll say we'll put up 40 again.
Okay.
At least.
So there's a lot of talk right now. We haven't heard your thoughts
at
on this.
Arrowhead.
About Lamar versus maybe Mahomes versus Allen in the MVP debate. Where are you right? It's early, but where are you? Is Mahomes the MVP?
Don't
of the
be
league?
Biased. Don't be biased. Because
Lamar's been incredible.
I know. It's just what Pat's able to do, he's in a league of his own. Like, I just, whether or not he gets the MVP.
Does he run
because,
the football?
Just because, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, he. Oh,
but not as much as Lamar. But again, Lamar's running.
Let's talk about this for a second. I think Patrick Mahomes. If you're starting an organization, you started around Patrick Mahomes. How much time we have, GA? Just wondering.
We only have 1 minute.
All right, I'm going to say this real quick. Lamar Jackson has zero weapons, and he's still doing everything. Zero. Rashad Bateman is his number one receiver.
He's also in a contract year. So
well, Mark Andrews is a weapon. I get it, but he also makes Mark Andrews Mark Andrews. Let's be real. And he can run the football better than any quarterback we've ever seen. But at the same time, I agree with you. I'll go Mahomes right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still sticking with Allen, even though they've been botching it as of late. I'm still sticking with Allen.
The past couple weeks. He won't get Gabe Davis involved. Gabe Davis is that dude, and he doesn't give him involved. I'm heated.
Okay, well, let's leave it there for now, guys. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Grant Mona when we return on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, guys. Presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have any questions or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, we have Kings tickets. Call our hotline at 310-400-0340. Again, that number is 310-400-0340. Also, don't forget to email us at arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. That is all lowercase arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. Okay, let's get out there to the Sporting Tribune guest hotline. The Sporting Tribune, again, is your go-to destination for the best coverage of your favorite teams in Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. No paywalls, no ads, no autoplay videos, just your teams and a clean reading experience. Visit thesportingtribune.com today. And here we have 2 days in a row, Mr. Grant Mona. Grant, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back again. It was actually insane to see Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson go after it. And it's like more entertaining than preseason yesterday. So there's a lot of great things happening in basketball, and I'm excited, man.
Yeah, well, with that, let's just jump right into Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson. What are your obviously, your thoughts were high on Victor. What are your thoughts on Scoot?
Scoot was, I mean, he kind of matched him there for a little bit. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, who's going to be number one? I think we all know that Victor Wembanyama is going to be number one. But the consolation prize you get for the number two pick is Scoot Henderson. And that's an amazing consolation prize for anyone that gets that number two pick. And he looked really good. You know, he kind of reminds me of like what Colin Sexton looked like out of college. But he has a much better jumper. He looks a lot more poised. He has a lot more dribbling talent than I think Colin Sexton did. And he just looks really, really intense. And that's what I really liked about Scoot watching him yesterday is he really wanted to make a statement that like, hey, I can be the number one pick too. It's not just Victor. Like I have the chance to do that too. And, you know, he had 27 points. Victor had 28. Victor had 37. It was such an amazing battle for a game that not many people really knew about until it was actually on. Like I saw a lot of people like tuning in being like, hey, this is actually an awesome duel. It's like everything we wanted and better. I mean, Victor Wembanyama had 7 threes, 5 blocks. I mean, that guy's an absolute monster. He looks like KD handling out there, but if KD was like 7-3, which is insane. So these are two of the best prospects I've seen in a long time, and it's exciting for basketball because now everyone's saying, like, who should tank for him? Would you give up, like, a star to get that pick? And it's crazy that we're even thinking about that.
Yeah, and Grant, I told you this last night through text, but I just feel like this is the closest thing since like a LeBron James type of prospect where you get them and you're almost, I wouldn't say guaranteed a championship, but guaranteed a core to have to build around for a championship, right? Because he's just that good. The skills of KD, right, with the shooting, 7 foot right. two, three, whatever, long wingspan, block shots, like, I won't say, I'm not going to give Gobert credit. Giannis Antetokounmpo, not Gobert. We all know Gobert, what he turns into in the playoffs. We all know, and I can't believe Minnesota traded all their depth for him. They're going to suck. But that's a different point. Man, I could talk about Gobert and how overrated he is all day. And I know the stats. I'm a stats guy, and the stats go against that. But there's just something you see when you watch basketball, and that guy just disappears in the playoffs. Regardless, Wembanyama and Scoot are two of the top 15 prospects in or 10 prospects in like 20, 30 years. And it's crazy that this is the best 1-2 punch ever. Excited to see a round two of this. I wanted to ask you about the Clippers. You know, you saw Kawhi play. You saw Paul George play in their preseason game. They looked great. John Wall, too. What are your thoughts entering this season? What do you expect to be their strength and their weakness?
Yeah, the strengths are obviously the star power and the depth, right? You know, you have kind of the roster that everyone would want. You have a great coach, you have the depth, you have the stars. That's kind of their strength. What their weakness is I'd say probably a backup center. Now, a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, you know, and also health, but I'll get to that a little bit. But, you know, you always want to have a backup center. Last year was Isaiah Hartenstein, who, you know, Hartenstein looks amazing. He had played his first game for the Knicks last night, and he looked absolutely amazing. It hurt. It really hurt to let Hartenstein go. But, you know, somebody brought up something yesterday is that John Wall, if we didn't sign John Wall, we probably would have had the money for Isaiah Hartenstein. And that's kind of going to the fact that, hey, John Wall, you got to prove that, like, because we could have had Hartenstein back, but we chose you because we wanted a point guard. So the Clippers kind of made that decision based on, okay, we've wanted a point guard for so long to set up Kawhi and Paul George. They finally got that point guard, but you know, the thing with it is you have to have a backup center. And, you know, Moses Brown, you know, I know, Brandon, you love Moses Brown, but he's really not the answer yet. You know, you could go small ball. You could, you know, they have plenty of wings to put at that five for a backup. They could go Morris, Covington, Batum. But, you know, will that stand up against teams that are taller, you know, like Gobert? I know you don't like Gobert, and I know you don't like the Timberwolves, but a lot of teams still have that traditional backup center. You know, are you going to see that? Yes, they have Zubac, and Zubac is very good in what he does and in his role. But, you know, down the stretch, I assume they're going to go small, and, you know, that may pose, it may not. You know, you can always go five out and go on the perimeter, but, you know, Ty Lue is very smart, and I'm assuming he's going to figure it out. But, you know, that's probably one of my main concerns going into the year is, like, you don't have that solidified backup five. You know, they did draft Musa Diabate, but he's not really the size contender to go up against some of these guys. And, you know, second thing is health. That's probably one of the main concerns is health. Obviously, we're all talking about it. But it seems like the guys have put in a lot of work in the weight room this offseason. You know, Paul George actually looks a little bit bigger. Terrence Mann got a little bit bigger. Kawhi looks like a monster. And he looks pretty good coming off of an ACL injury. He looked pretty good in that first preseason game. I'm just excited to see John Wall play with the starters in this next preseason game. He didn't really get a chance to last game. I really want to see him in that starting unit, starting the game, see how we can get them in their spots and, you know, take it from there. But, you know, Kawhi said something yesterday. There's an interview with Clutch Points that, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. It's not going to be something that just happens over. You know, we're not great right now. It's something that's going to take a long time to get, you know, get right. And, you know, by the playoffs, he does believe that it's going to be awesome. But, you know, I agree with him. Like, it's not going to be something that just happens like that. And that's why I don't really think that they're going to have a 1 or 2 seed. They'll probably slot into that 3 or 4. Yes, they're probably one of the better teams, but I think they're going to slot into that 3 or 4 seed just because they're going to kind of coast and make sure that they're healthy going into the playoffs.
Grant, I have one more Clipper question for you. Everybody's been talking about their depth. Do you think with all that depth, somebody will be left out of the regular rotation? And if so, who do you think that would be?
Yeah, you know, there's going to have to be somebody, and in my opinion, it's probably going to be either Luke Kennard or Amir Coffey. You know, and it's so unfortunate because those guys were such an integral part of the team last year. You know, they were, you know, main rotation guys with everyone out, and you know, Luke Kennard is a sharpshooter. He led the league in 3-point percentage at 45.3%, and he's one of those guys that would probably fit perfect around Kawhi and Paul George. So you know, but you got to understand that Terrence Mann is a wing. He's a wing that can play very good defense. Luke Kennard's defense is not that great. Terrence Mann's defense is very good. His playmaking is very good. He can rebound the ball pretty well. He can, you know, push the ball in transition. So I think they'll lean more towards Terrence Mann as opposed to Luke Kennard and Amir Coffey. But it just goes to show, like, when Kawhi and Paul George are out, and I'm assuming they will be, you know, for rest for a lot of the year, you're going to have those guys be in there, and that's not a bad thing. You're going to have Luke Kennard and Amir Coffey get minutes into those slots that Kawhi and Paul George aren't in, and, you know, probably Nick Batum and Marcus Morris Sr. So you're going to have those two guys, which is why you love the depth. I mean, I just hope that it doesn't, you know, their egos don't get in the way to where it's like, okay, I want my minutes, because Norman Powell has already said that he wants to be an all-star, which I don't think he will be, just because there's so much great talent in the West. But he's already come out and said, like, I want to be an all-star. I want to be in the starting lineup. It's kind of, you know, I don't really like that statement, but, you know, I see where he's coming from. I understand what he wants to do. But, you know, you have to understand that there's going to be a lot of guys getting rest. The depth is going to be very critical in the regular season to fill in those spots. But in the postseason, yeah, there's going to be guys left out of the rotation. And that's perfectly fine, honestly, as a Clipper fan. I don't mind seeing that.
Grant, it's Kayla here. We have a big divisional game coming up Monday night between the Chiefs and Raiders. Do you think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL?
Yeah, I actually do. You know, I actually thought it was the Bills at the beginning of the year. But, you know, the Bills have kind of, you know, they had some injuries in the secondary, which has kind of taken a toll on their defense. But the Chiefs, I mean, we all thought, you know, the loss of Tyreek Hill would be the end of them. It's not. I mean, it's really not. If you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce with a decent defense, you're going to get the job done. And that's what they've done so far. I mean, they blew out the Buccaneers, who we think is a contender. I don't know if anyone else does, but, you know, everyone's putting them still in that contender situation. And, you know, the Chiefs have, you know, they beat the Chargers. I mean, they're really proven that, you know, one player, one star is really not going to hinder them. And, you know, they added Juju Smith-Schuster, who really hasn't gotten going. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably the main point of that football team that's actually got them into the spot that they're at right now. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I have him on my fantasy team. He's giving me 20 fantasy points a week almost, and he's getting touchdowns a game. He's, you know, in the passing game and the running game. So, you know, it's really, they're kind of using him as another receiver to fill in that Tyreek Hill role. And Andy Reid's such a great coach that it's really not that big of a deal, you know, that you lose. Yeah, Tyreek Hill's electric. He's a very good playmaker. But with that offense and the way it's running with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, you're always going to have a chance. You're always going to be a contender. So I do think that they're the number one team right now. Obviously, things can change. It's very early, you know. And the Eagles, they have a very good case for it, too. They're still the only undefeated team left. But, you know, there's a lot of questions with them. They haven't been there before. They're very young. So, yes, the Chiefs are number one. And, you know, the Bills, they're not – I'm not writing them off. It's just that the Chiefs, they're solid. They won a title. They know what they're doing. They're the number one team right now.
All right, Grant, I wanted to ask you about your Rams. They're playing the Cowboys. I know your thoughts from yesterday. You think they're going to lose. I don't know why everyone's – Armand said this doom and gloom. They played a really good 49ers defense, and, yeah, their offensive line sucks, but they still have weapons. You know what I'm saying? They still have a good defense, right? They didn't play terrible against the 49ers defensively. They're playing the Cowboys, who haven't played anybody, by the way, besides the Buccaneers, who smacked them in week one, right? So, like, they haven't played anybody. Everyone's, like, in the media talking about how great they are, and it's like, yeah, they have a good defense, but, dude, I do not trust that team. I still think they're only winning 9 games. I think they lose the Rams.
Wow. Okay, yeah, I mean, look, the Cowboys, they're on a hot streak right now. Obviously, Cowboys Nation, they're on fire right now because Cooper Rush is the second coming of Jesus right now. So, you know, everybody is kind of, you know, up in arms about that, thinking, oh, did Dak lose a spot? Dak did not lose a spot. They're paying him way too much money for him to lose a spot. But the Rams, they, you know, going up against the Cowboys, look, you got to understand, the Cowboys defense isn't anything to take lightly either. The Cowboys defense is pretty good, and Micah Parsons is that guy. Like, he's that guy. He's proven it over this year to be that edge rusher that we didn't even see last year because he was in the linebacker role. And, you know, you have Trayvon Diggs at the end in the secondary. He had an interception last week. So it's not going to be easy again. And, you know, the Rams lost Shelton to a high ankle sprain. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. The Rams offensive line is just not it this year. And, you know, last year they were very lucky. They got healthy. They had a healthy offensive line. They had Andrew Whitworth. But it did something, you know, Allen Robinson isn't getting off on his routes. He's not creating separation. You know, Cooper Kupp's the only guy that's getting any targets. He had, what, 15 targets? Or, sorry, 15 yeah. receptions, whatever it was, something crazy. Obviously, he's going to get his yardage, but, you know, that's why that pick six happened yesterday. Brandon, you know this, is that you're just going to expect them to throw with the cup every time. That's not a good solution for an offense. And the running game isn't that great. Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson have been stagnant just because, and I think it is because of that offensive line. They're not creating holes. They're not, you know, getting those open runs that they used to get last year. And, you know, that's a bad recipe for a team that's going up against a defense that's really good. It's not, you know, it's not the Niners defense, obviously, but those Cowboys, that defense is really good. I'm just, you know, it's going to be a Cowboys home game. I think we all know that. It's unfortunate that that's how it is at SoFi Stadium. That's how it is in L.A. right now. But it's going to be a Cowboys home game. So you're probably going to have to go to the silent count with a brand new center. It just seems like a recipe for disaster. Yes, the Rams defense is pretty good, but they're banged up too. And they haven't proven themselves in the secondary either. Jalen Ramsey has not looked like himself. So there's a ton of, like I just said, there's a ton of question marks. So I wouldn't be so sure of a Rams win. You know, I do think that the game's going to be close. It's not going to be a blowout in the Cowboys' favor, but you know, there's a ton of questions on the Rams side, where on the Cowboys side, they're firing on all cylinders.
Well, I wanted to continue on with this question as well, or continue on with the Rams for like a second, specifically because there's a possibility, they're not ruling it out, that Dax might come back for this specific game. If he does, what do you automatically think, like, hands down, they're going to get blown out then if the tie changes with that quarterback, with the Cowboys quarterback?
Yeah. No. I think Cooper Rush is the better option, right? I'd rather have Dak be absolutely fully healthy for the Cowboys than rush him back. No pun intended. Rush him back and get him back into the game. You know, for this game, look, they're on a 4-game winning streak. Whatever it is, they're doing okay. They're doing okay. They're hanging in there. Cooper Rush isn't the long term deal for them, but you know, Dak Prescott rushing him back getting into this game. Don't do it. Leave him out for another week. If Dak Prescott plays, he's probably not going to look that great. He really isn't. It's been a while. He's got that hand. You know, you don't know how the hand's going to respond in a full game yet. You know, you don't really know how he's going to play with that offense and against a pretty good defense in the Rams. So Cooper Rush has been prepared. He's healthy. He's throwing the ball really well. I think they have a better chance with him this week, honestly. I think you leave Dak Prescott out until you play like one of the lower tier teams and let him get his feet under him, let him, you know, get back into game shape. But you know, if Dak Prescott's in there, I think they have a worse chance, honestly. I just think that Cooper Rush is doing it right now for them, and that he's probably the better option this week. So yeah, their offense flows pretty nicely with Cooper Rush. He's probably going to get a job after this somewhere. I don't know where, but yeah, Cooper Rush is probably the answer this week.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. Like, keep that momentum going. I also wanted to talk to you about McVay and that play calling. God, it is awful. Mm-hmm. So what do you think needs to be changed as far as the offense is concerned, the play calling? Like, does McVay need to maybe lighten the reins a little bit, or what do you think?
Well, no, I just think, you know, last year was so dynamic. You ran jet sweeps with Cooper Kupp, you know, and obviously, you know, the absence of Van Jefferson is kind of proven big, because, you know, he was a pretty big part of that jet sweep offense that they ran, that kind of dynamic, you know, short pass, long throw. You know, he's a deep threat too. So, you know, the absence of him is pretty significant. But, you know, with Sean McVay, it just seems like people are figuring him out. Defensive coordinators are kind of figuring him out. And it's probably due to the fact that Stafford keeps throwing the Cooper Kupp every time he hikes the ball. But, you know, they have to get other people involved. I don't care what it is. Get somebody else involved. Yes, Tyler Higbee's been involved, and he's a pretty good tight end. But you can't just rely on Cooper Kupp and Higbee to get you through a game. You signed Allen Robinson to a 3-year, whatever it was, millions and millions and millions of dollar deal. Get him involved in any way. Use him in a jet sweep role. I don't care. Get him involved some way. Get him downfield. Let him get a chance. He only had a couple targets even. I think he had 5 targets, and he only had 2 receptions. So you got to get somebody else involved. You got to get dynamic again like you did last year. And I know that the options aren't available there. You know, you have Ben Skowronek, who's a fullback now, and he's a thin wide receiver, and they're using him as a fullback. That's how dire things are right now. So I understand, like, Sean McVay doesn't have much to work with, but you got to get more dynamic. You can't just make the same crossing routes that Cooper Kupp has all the time, the same out routes, the same drop routes that Cooper Kupp goes through, and expect you know, your offense to flow like that. You know, in the run game, I've lost all confidence in the run game, but try to establish that. Try to get something going. This is the game. You're back at home. You got to get something going against a pretty formidable opponent. So I'm not really out on Sean McVay. I just think that he needs to get back to what they did last year. Become more dynamic. Get your better play calling. You know, he's one of the best coaches in the league. We all know that. Be that again. You know, I don't want to pin it down to Kevin O'Connell leaving to the Vikings. Maybe that's it. But Sean McVay's smart enough to figure it out.
All right, Grant, last question here. I wanted to ask you about the Lakers, who are playing the team that lost to the 36ers, the Suns, tonight. What do you expect to see from the Lakers tonight? What do you want to see?
Honestly, the Suns, I think, are going to come out with a vengeance. I don't know if their starters are playing. If the starters play, the Lakers are in trouble because that team, should have all of the momentum going behind them tonight. But the Lakers, what I want to see is more of the bench unit kind of working cohesively. I don't know who's going to play and who's not. I didn't really look at the reports. I don't know if they're out yet. But if Lonnie Walker plays, I'd really like to see him. If Troy Brown Jr. plays, I'd like to see him play. You know, I don't know if any of the starters are playing, but if the starters do play, I'd like to see more of like what I said yesterday. I want to see Russell Westbrook get into the paint. I want to see him catch that ball and drive. I don't want to see him play around the perimeter. I don't want to see him take mid-range jumpers that go off the side of the backboard. His strength is getting to the rim and using that athleticism to get to the rim. And, you know, Anthony Davis, I want to see him dominate DeAndre Ayton because I know he can, and I know everyone in that studio knows that he can. I want to see him play like he's on a revenge tour, and I expect LeBron to play very well. I really do. Their defense is going to be good, but their shooting has to improve. I just want to see how the Suns respond. I want to see how the Lakers respond from that blowout loss. It wasn't the starters' fault, but I want to see that unit play competitively against a very good team in the Suns still. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun, but I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, no, I think we all want to see Anthony Davis play his heart out, at least for one quarter, right? Like, just show us something, right? Just show us a little bit of something. Well, Grant, thank you so much for your time. 2 days in a row, man. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. Well, that's all the time we got for today, guys. Let's do it again mañana. Until then, this is the Arash Markazi Show saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we worry, brothers.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.